Sure, say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is. But yeah, we know what it is. Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. It won't let me. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. It's prayer. It's preaching time. We've praised. We've prayed. And now it's time to proclaim and preach. I want you to stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter number 24. And I want to read a few verses for you. While you are turning there, I want to, and I was remiss a little bit earlier, I asked her to stand and greet folk, but I was remiss in not congratulating our very own Congresswoman for being reelected to Congress. Congresswoman Bobby Watson, come on, y'all, give it up. Come on, give it up for, I know you got your Bibles in your hand. Amen, amen. So we are godly proud of her and the work that she is doing there in Washington, D.C., and we pray for her even more so because she now has to battle a Republican president in a Republican Congress in a Republican-led Senate, and who's going to be fighting to repeal every major piece of legislation. So we're praying for you, Bonnie, and colleagues like you as you do your work down in Washington. Say amen when you've located this text, 1 Samuel chapter number 24. I want to read not all 22 verses of this chapter. I invite you to do that in part as part of your own devotional reading. I want to set the context for you to do that as you peruse this chapter and use it as a springboard into deeper understanding of what God does, when God does it, through whom God chooses to do it. 1 Samuel chapter 24, starting in verse number 1, the Bible reads as follows. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word, may edify and sanctify the people of God. I want that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Respect the Office. Respect the Office. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I come before you now in Jesus' name, thanking you for what you've already done, asking that you will continue to manifest yourself even greater. I thank you, Lord, for songs of Zion, fervency of prayer, fellowship of the saints, sweet communion of the Holy Ghost. But now I pray that you would illuminate our minds. Teach us, O God. I pray that you would encourage our souls, alleviate fear, worry, and anxiety. And I pray, God, that you would convict somebody's heart, soul, that you would draw us closer unto thee, O Lord. Have your way. And we shall be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' sweet, wonderful, and matchless name, We do pray. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you is indeed my prayer. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. Donald J. Trump is the president-elect of the United States of America. And on January 20th, 2017, if the Lord delays his coming, he will be sworn in as America's 45th president. And as unlikely and as unforeseen and uncanny and unbelievable and everything else you might want to put in front of it, as it may be, the American people have spoken through a democratic process that was not rigged, contrary to the very one who said it was rigged. Rigged when it doesn't work for you, not rigged when it does work for you. Contrary to the very one who said it was rigged, he will be sworn in as America's 45th president. So today, as I prayed about what the Lord would have me to say to his people on this most interesting of worship Sundays after this historic election, I thought about another scripture and tying it into Veterans Day and all of the kind of things that we might do on this day closest to Veterans Day, this Sunday closest to Veterans Day. But God had me go another direction. The Spirit led me to this text about the anointing and the anointed and what does it mean to have an office in which you have been anointed, to which you have been anointed and appointed. And I want to start the sermon off today by reminding us of this most interesting of historical context that we find in the Bible. Much like what we just went through, the nation of Israel finds themselves at this time in their history having elected, if you would, a new monarch or a king over Israel. And in order to understand the history of the nation of Israel, one must go all the way back to its very embryonic stages that we find in Egypt. I often liken the nation of Israel's growth, development, and maturation to that of a child that is growing through stages and ages. That we all were born somewhere. And the nation of Israel was born literally within the birth pangs of Egypt. While Pharaoh was on the throne, the nation was born. It was coddled together. Groups of men and women from Joseph's brothers and Jacob's descendants that were in Egypt found themselves in prosperity and now found themselves later enslaved. And so this nation of Israel, born in captivity, find themselves then given freedom by God to go into the wilderness towards the promised land. And it is that experience in the wilderness that I believe is might be what we call their adolescent years of growing up. That they are in the wilderness depending on God, but not really obeying God to the fullest of their ability. And they're in the wilderness. They are growing. They're making their mistakes. They're challenging power, much like children do when they are growing in ages and stages. And then there's a period in the nation's history where they get into the promised land. And after Joshua leads them, there is a period called the Judges. I call this Israel's teenage years. For much like teenagers, they're challenging authority even more, seeking out their own identity, and yet understanding that they're still connected to God. And much like teenagers, they don't always listen to their parents. And so when they get into trouble, they cry out, Lord, 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 help me. for I have fallen and made a mistake. And much like a good parent, God raises up a deliverer, a judge that delivers them out of their trouble. And no sooner than they get out of trouble, they find themselves going back and doing the same thing from which they just got delivered. Come on, somebody. That ought to sound familiar. God can take us out of one predicament, one situation in which we have cried, Lord, Lord, if you just get me out of this one more time, I promise I'll never do it again. I don't have to look at anybody, do I, to figure out who said that in the sanctuary. But no sooner than we get out, we find ourselves doing, if not the same thing, something similar. And these were what I call the sin cycles that God brought the nation through in their judges' years. Samson was a judge. Deborah was a judge. And there were dozens of judges that God lifted up, raised up to deliver the people of God out of their issues, out of their challenge. But they never fully got the real understanding of what God was trying to do. I'm so grateful for God's grace, and I'm so grateful for God's mercy. For when I'm hard-headed, wanting to do my own thing, God still looks beyond my faults and he still sees my needs. Do I have a witness here today that you know without a shadow of a doubt God has looked beyond your faults, seen your very need? Then there's this period of the monarchy in the nation of Israel where the nation says, we want what other folk have. Other folk have a king, we want to have a king. And you've got to be careful, beloved, by looking at somebody else's blessings or so-called blessings and determining that you want something because somebody else wants it. Because what they have, you may not really need. And what they've gotten may not really be for you. And instead of looking at what they have, you need to say, Lord, give me what I need in such a time as this in my situation. For in I'm going through my situation, I need a blessing that is taken. Elephant just for me. And not looking at what other folk have, but understanding that God wants to do something in my life. And how many of you know what God has for you is going to be for you? You don't have to look what other folk have. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. There's a movie that's coming out or just came out, Keeping Up with the Joneses. Keeping Up with the Joneses will get you in a big world of trouble. Amen, somebody. So the nation of Israel said, they've got a king, we want a king. And not only did they want a king, they demanded a king. Not only did they demand a king, but they got a king. How many of you know God will sometimes give you, Pastor, what you think you want? Come on, somebody. Only to prove to you that what you want isn't what you need. I've stopped praying, so Lord, give me what I want. And I've stopped, so I've started to season my prayer with understanding to say, Lord, whatever your will is, give me what I need. Let your will be done in my life. Because if your will is done in my life, I know everything will work out for my benefit and for your glory. If your will is done in my life, mountains will be moved, doors will be opened, bridges will be built. If your will is done in my life, demons shall be put to flight. If your will is done in my life, Lord, help me. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Yet the nation of Israel didn't heed this. They demanded a king. They elected Saul. Sometimes God will give you what you think you want. America wanted change. They wanted an outsider. They wanted somebody that wasn't in the Washington establishment. Deacon Mariah, they got what we got, what we wanted. And I don't want to put myself in it because I didn't vote for him. But guess what? I'm an American. And so we've got what we, the majority of Americans, wanted. And they want it fair and square, some might say. I don't have time to talk about Director Comey, but you know. they got the king. We got the king. They got the king that they wanted, Saul. And the Bible says that Saul would well rose to the stature and status of his king appointment. And yet in his appointment, his insecurities started to show and to manifest themselves. So much so that Saul began to grow weary of this little shepherd boy by the name of David. All David did was serve the Lord. All David was guilty of was attending to the sheep out in the field. Only mistake David made was being in the right place at the right time to be used of God. And how many of you know that when you are in God's will and God is working out his favor on you, not everybody's going to embrace you. Not everybody's going to like you. And in point of fact, somebody might try to do you harm. This is exactly what happened to little old David. David loved Saul's son, Jonathan. So much so that they were brothers in the spirit. They hung out with each other. They were aces. They ran with each other. They had each other's back. But for whatever reason, Saul, Jonathan's daddy, was jealous and insecure when David showed up on the scene. The Bible says that he would even throw spears at David's head to literally try to take him out. I just need to stop right here and help somebody understand that when God's favor is upon you, you ought not be surprised when folks start throwing spears at you. When God's favor is upon you, you ought not be surprised when folks try to pull you down. When God's favor is upon you, you ought not be surprised when folk don't want to hang around you. They don't like you when you show up. They don't like your praise. They don't like your prayer. They don't like your presence. They want to kill you. And the only thing you're guilty of is being used by God and being a recipient of God's favor. That was David's plight. People would even say Saul slaughtered thousands, but David slaughtered tens of thousands. And boy, that got Saul's goat. How dare you talk about this little shepherd boy? I'm the king. But how many of you know if you really are secure in your spot, you don't have to go around telling people who you are. If you really know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to go around saying, I'm deacon so-and-so. I'm pastor so-and-so. I'm congresswoman so-and-so. Your title doesn't make you. Your Father in heaven, that's who makes you. Somebody shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is not a position. It is not a title. It is not anything that man gives by which you are to base your identity. Saul understood this. David understood this, but Saul was irked by this. And so the Bible says that Saul pursued David. And sometimes, I said it before, sometimes Saul would draw David close to him. And other times Saul would push David away from him. Sometimes Saul would embrace David. Other times Saul would try to kill David. You ever been in a situation with folk, you were almost getting schizophrenic because you don't know whether they're coming or going. You don't know whether they like you or don't. Either sometimes they pull you in, sometimes they push you away. But I need you to not feel like a mouse candy bar. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Folk can make you question yourself, but you have to understand it's not you. It's not you. It's not you. God has God's favor on you. It's not you. God has God's hand upon you. It's not you. It's nothing you've done to make them react that way to you. All you are doing is be who God has called you to be. And once you be who God has called you to be, you do your best and you let God handle the rest. Now we come to chapter 24. David is in a cave, pursued by his homeboy's daddy. Hiding in a cave. And here's the interesting irony of the text. Verse 3 says that Saul went into that same cave to attend to his needs. I don't have to spell it out for you, do I? He went in to attend to his needs. And the Bible says that while Saul was attending to his needs, David, he didn't notice David and his men in the recesses of the cave. And David's boys, if you would, his aces, who those who ran with him, his mighty men, says, David, now is the time. You can get revenge on your enemy. You can take out your pursuer. I think you ought to go for him now, David. He is unsuspecting. He is vulnerable. He is at rest. He is attending to his needs. And no time like the present to do what you got to do. Take him out, David. You got to be careful who you listen to. Can I help someone today? There's a lot of folk around you who you think has your best needs, who think has your best interests in mind, but you've got to use godly wisdom. You better not listen to your boys just because they're your boys. You better not listen to your girls just because they're your girls. You better not listen to your sorority sisters, your fraternity brothers. You better make sure you're hearing God. You better stop listening to people and listen to God. The Bible says that David, in a moment perhaps of mortal weakness, said, yes, I should go after my enemy. But I'm going to do something where I just let him know I was here. So I'm going to cut a corner of his robe off. We presume Saul didn't have his robe on when David cut it. But he did it with such discreet precision that Saul didn't even know that his robe was cut. Presumably, David was going to use this to lord over him. Now, here's where I want to, let me go another verse. Verse 7 says, but then David, something came over David. And the Bible says in verse number 6, after he has done this thing, David was conscience stricken for having cut a corner of Saul's robe. And the Bible says that he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Now, I know a lot of y'all, let me jump between the 21st century and biblical history. I know a lot of y'all don't agree. Maybe you can see. Maybe you're not ready to accept that Donald J. Trump is there in the presidency because God allowed it to happen. I don't care what Donald Trump think he did. I don't care what the right-wing Republican establishment think they did. Donald J. Trump is the 45th president-elect of the United States of America because God allowed it to happen. Come on, somebody. And so it makes him the appointed of God, or some might even say the anointed of God. Now, I would wrestle with whether he's really anointed. I would really wrestle with it, Deacon Smith, whether he's really anointed. But what I cannot argue with is that he has been appointed to serve in this position. Whether we like it or not, he's here. So as such, the question is, what do we as believers do now that he's been appointed to the presidency of the United States of America? Do we outright fight him? Do we try to take him out and disparage his name? Do we go and cut a portion of his robe off and say, you better be careful, Donald, because if you mess up, I'm going to be there to mess you up? Or do we remember who we are and whose we are? Do we allow the conscience of God to guide us and to lead us? I'm not saying we don't protest, but every president deserves an opportunity to govern. When folk were opposed to Barack Obama in 2008, what did people say? He deserves a right to govern. And I stand here today in 2016 and say that Donald J. Trump deserves a right to govern. But when he starts messing with God's people, the least and the last and the lost, some of God's people need to stand up and remind Donald Trump, you're there because God allowed you to be there. But here's the one thing we do not do. We don't lower our standards and start talking about the president and calling him out of his name. Because as believers, we've got to respect God and respect the office that God has allowed him to occupy. So now we find ourselves in the shoes of David. What do we do against the king when he's trying to do dastardly things to us? What do we do to the king? And like David, I want us all to have a God conscience. Because even though I believe in the anointing, Pastor Evans, I believe that some folk get a temporal anointing and other folk have a perpetual anointing. And in this case, I think Donald Trump has been given a temporal anointing to be the president of the United States of America. But now God wants to see, what is he going to do with the opportunity that God has given him? Here's my conclusion to the matter. I'm going to respect the office, but more importantly, I'm going to respect God. Temporally, I would say I wanted the same for my president, Barack Obama. But they have so disrespected the man and they have so disrespected the office that I wonder, what have they done to, what did this man, Barack Obama, do to them to inquire, to earn the hatred and the ire of so many Republicans, other than simply being black, male, and blessed? So it is that I don't want to lower my standard in this case because I wanted it for my president. And so he deserves a right to govern. But the Bible says, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Far be it from me to mess with the Lord's anointed. But I'm not going to mess with him, but God will mess with him. And how many of you know that when God messes with you, he can do it better than any of us ever can? So all you and I have to do is stand on the battlefield. And when he messes up, stand up and say, President Trump, that's not what God has to say. Let me remind you what God has to say. That doesn't mean we don't march. That doesn't mean we don't stand in protest. But we don't lower ourselves to do what they did. And that's disrespect the office, but more importantly, disrespect God. And so as I get ready to go to my seat, I encourage all of us to pray for the new president, to pray for his wife. I encourage all of us to beseech God's throne of grace and understand that God is still on the throne. I encourage all of us to walk by faith and not by sight, understanding that a Trump presidency doesn't make your world right or wrong. The sun is still going to rise in the east. The rain is still going to fall from the clouds. The wind is still going to blow, and God is still going to live. God is still going to reign. And so as much as you may have anxiety, I need somebody here to know that God is still high and lifted up, and that Donald Trump doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put me in. I need some believers here today to know that when God gets ready, he'll deal with Pharaoh. He'll deal with Trump just like he dealt with Pharaoh. That when God gets ready, he'll deal with Trump just like he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. When God gets ready, he'll deal with Trump just like he dealt with Pilate. When God gets ready, he'll deal with Trump just like he deal with any other that would dare challenge his name, his authority, his reign, his power. God has allowed this thing to be. And in as much as we may not agree with it, nor understand it, let's take a lesson from David. Tell the people to not do harm to the king. But protesting and standing in opposition to wrong is not doing harm to the king. That's keeping the king accountable. But don't call the man out of his name. Don't disrespect the office. And let God deal with him through the way that God is going to choose to deal with him. I pray that he would have a softer heart. I pray that he would have a change of mind. I pray that he would have a change of understanding. But guess what? Only God can do that. You and I can't make him do that. But what we can do is say, Lord, have your way in the name of Jesus. And while you're having your way, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to glorify your name. Remind myself that you are God. Above you there is no other. David gives us a great lesson today as we go into the leadership of a king we may not agree with, but understand what God gives us in his word is true, and his word is everlasting. And so the best we can do during this time is to hold on to God and to lift up his word and lift up his name in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again, and one more time for the Holy Spirit. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend this invitation. Help me extend this invitation to Christian discipleship. I want everyone just to bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you've given us today through your word. I pray that we would take this lesson from David and that we would apply it to our lives to the best that we can. We do love you, Lord, and we do bless you. And it is simply our prayer that you would convict someone's soul right now. Wherever they are, wherever we are, draw us closer unto thee, O God. We shall be careful to give your name the glory, the praise, and the honor. And Lord, even above and beyond the presidency of the United States of America, there is our own individual lives, our relationship with you. And I pray right now, God, that you would do for somebody what you did for David. David's hand, your hand of protection was on David. Your hand of provision was on David. Do it now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Anybody here today wishes to make a decision for Christ? We welcome, I think, a couple of young people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give God a praise out for these young people who are coming. Amen. Amen. Bless you, sweetie. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, glad to see you, all right? Amen. God bless you. All right. Parents, are the parents of the Howell children here? Won't you come on down and come down with them as they go downstairs? Parents, the Howell parents, praise the Lord. Anybody else here today wishes to give us their hand and give God your heart? Anybody else here wishes to give God your hand and give us your hand and give God your heart? Look at God today. Bless your sweetheart. God bless you. Come on, let's give God a praise offering for our sister.
Hey, sweetie. Good to see you.
Amen, amen. Let's give another praise offering for our sister and her daughter who's coming forward. Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today?